you wouldn't know coming into a lot of our venues that they are part of a bigger group.
And what does hospitality
mean? We really
mean
strive to make sure they do.
Oh, hospitality. What it means to me. Well, let me think about this one. It's the most unbelievable industry.
Today on Dirty Linen, we are going to investigate a question that I'm very interested
about
in.
Life.
Is it easier
what
to
I
be
learned,
part
what
of a restaurant
still
group
learn
than
in
an independent restaurant? I feel like we're having so many discussions around this whole topic of is hospitality broken or not.
It's just,
and
it's the
one
university
of the things
of
that
life,
keeps coming up
is
our
term.
Groups. They've got it so easy. They're insulated from all these issues.
Everything that you get from it.
Today we are speaking to Ash Hicks, who is the executive chef of
Even though
which has
whether
a number
we,
of restaurants
we like the changes
in Victoria,
it's got, whether they're better for worse.
I followed Ash's career for ages. He's from
it's
Queensland.
Imagine,
he
like,
worked for Gordon Ramsay in London
doing
and Tom
a job
Aikens.
That you don't love sitting at
he
desk,
came back, was he exec chef at Circa the Prince during
like,
its glory days, and
as every
he worked
type of
as
in the
head chef at Sand Hill Road.
It's incredible.
Love it. So would you tell that 15-year-old back in the
Hi,
day
Denny,
to
how you going?
Go for it? Still send them into the kitchen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would, for sure. For sure. With probably what I would do differently, I guess, would probably set up a mentor program for a younger chef, something I learned later in life, which I wish I had, just a guiding light. A bit more someone that wasn't your chef in the kitchen, but more of just a life mentor.
I love that. Well, I'm sure you're playing that role for a lot of people today, Ash. I'm really grateful to you for sharing with us. It sounds busy. It sounds fulfilling. I'm really excited to see where the road takes you next. Thank you so much for being on Dirty Linen.
Forward. Thank you so much, Danny. It's been great chatting to you. It's been for a short period of time, and I am sort of moving back to Melbourne to be back on the ground. But it's been extremely difficult to perform the role from here, but also really rewarding. It's taught me a really large range of skills I probably would not have ever had before in management styles and leadership and giving empowering the head chefs and everything in the venues a little more rather than being over their shoulder all the time. So that's currently what I'm doing now. I work on sort of the new projects and the strategic part of the business from a food perspective. We'll get heavily involved in sort of tendering projects for new sites with sort of, you know, government departments and everything, like with the Royal Botanic Gardens. So yeah, it's really exciting. It has its moments where it's quite difficult, but you know, we're in a growth phase as well, the Darling Group. So we're in like the 16th month of this massive growth phase. So, you know, that's been exciting and challenging at times, obviously with, you know, everyone's sort of views on how hospitality is now, and obviously, how it's been up and down a little bit and coming out of, you know, that period of time that we never want to talk about ever again. But it's great. We're still, I consider, a small group, but with the growth on hand, it's amazing. You know, we've brought on a lot of great people. We're in a really positive position.
Yeah, it sounds so interesting. So, I mean, what is Darling Group? Who is it? I feel like people have this idea that with a group, there's just money just washing through hallways and doorways, and you're immune to pressures. So who is behind this group, and what's the structure of it?
I can assure you, being part of this group or any group I've been involved with, there's definitely not money washing through hallways. We're a family-owned company by the Soad family, there's the father Sam and the son Nicholas who run the company. So it's definitely come from humble beginnings. Nick is very forward-thinking and progressive, and hungry and tenacious in the way that the group is growing, and he's definitely leading the charge in the growth phase. I think we're up to about 500 staff across 11 venues now, one of them being regional in Sorrento. And then we've got sort of some really predominant cafes in the city, High Ground, Top Paddock in Richmond, and Kettle Black. One of our really flagship venues now is the Terrace in the Botanic Gardens, which we took over 12 to 13 months ago. So we've got an all-day cafe there, and then we've got an events to that business as well, which has been really exciting and a new challenge for us to step from obviously predominantly cafes and morning trade to events and weddings and everything like that. So that's been a real shift for a lot of people in the business, but it's given a lot of the chefs another outlet or growth as well, where we've been able to move them into the event side. People have been with us for 2 to 3 years in a fast-paced cafe like Higher Ground. To move them to a completely different food style and concept has been really rewarding. Front of house as well, of course, but that's been really rewarding to see that. And most recently, we've opened Token restaurant in South Yarra, which was a really long project we worked on. Obviously, we have building constraints and delays and everything with that one, but that's a really exciting modern, contemporary Asian concept we've got in South Yarra. Beautiful dining space, open kitchen and everything, which is really exciting. It was a difficult opening, and then it's really starting to hit its straps now, which is great to see.
What made it difficult?
Oh, a couple of markers worked against us there. So, you know, obviously materials and everything for the build costs changed dramatically from when we went from concept to initial quotes and design, and then sort of recruitment drive was a difficult one to find the right people in the right place. And you know, we ended up with, you know, moving pretty swiftly and addressing some core leadership issues within the business quickly and changing the strategy there. And since then, it's really, really hit its stride.
So I guess, you know, you mentioned you're working remotely to some degree. That would be challenging in terms of, you know, creating the staff culture that is going to help a new business thrive. But do you think there are also differences, you know, in the time that you've been in the industry? Do you notice a general change in culture or the way that people approach their hospitality careers?
In short, yes, definitely. I've been doing this for 23 or 24 years now. I sort of started hospitality when I was 14 or 15, purely like a very driven and tenacious. And I went through sort of the old school London kitchens. I think the culture, holistic view, the spirit of hospitality and kitchens will always remain the same. And it's like the drive to provide guest experience and give them the best that you can and put your heart on the plate, was always there. But just the execution and the management styles back then to now were vastly different, for better or for worse. I think, you know, probably the unsustainable, and everyone's banged on about it for a very long time, but the unsustainable sort of hours and everything back then, I welcome the change and the way it is now, where it's more of a work-life balance for all the staff. Definitely the culture as a people and culture sort of perspective of kitchens has definitely moved more towards a less regimented and military style to more family style and inclusive. Everyone gets a say, whereas, you know, you try and create an atmosphere where everyone's happy and positive, whereas some the kitchens I worked in back in the days, you weren't allowed to talk or there was no music or anything, or look sideways. So yeah, it's definitely changed. I think, yeah, there's elements of it definitely for the better and way more positive, and it has made it a lot more sustainable for the people within it, and hopefully that creates longevity for people's careers, because you do see, it's kind of like sports, you do see a lot of burnout around the age of 27, 28 of young chefs just burnt out of being sort of working really hard from, you know, 16 to that, so to a decade, and there is burnout there, it's, and fatigue. So you do see a lot of people leaving the industry at that period of time. So hopefully, you know, the goal is when with this change and how it's sort of progressed now and is more sustainable lifestyle wise. Hopefully there's longer careers in it for everyone.
Do you think that going along with that, there is that some people are less engaged? Like I totally agree with you. Like things had to change. People have to be allowed to look sideways. And you don't want people burning out. But do you think that there's something about that the lowering of the intensity, I mean, do we lose anything with that, or do you think it's entirely positive?
Is it, we do lose things. Like nothing's really entirely positive. I think you do lose, with the lack of intensity, you lose engagement. And I mean, every person is different, right? They respond to things, they respond to experience and environments a lot differently. I mean, I was someone who needed to be in a military style run environment, kitchen to be successful. I was driven, but I, the focus when I was younger was definitely not there. And that stemmed from the early days at school. I was probably what you would call a teacher's worst nightmare, and couldn't sit still and couldn't stay focused on school. Just didn't interest me whatsoever. And then as soon as I found cooking and being in the team, the camaraderie, like it's that, and the intensity is what I needed, but it doesn't really suit every personality type, you know? So it's, you know, is it for the positive? It depends on the people. I don't think you get the same engagement of every sort of individual. You still get, we're really fortunate. We've got some great young hungry chefs in Token who are completely engaged, and we get to offer them the new style of management and hospitality where it is now. So yes and no, it's difficult.
It's really interesting, Ash, because I mean, do you feel like, how different do you think your life would be if you came up through hospitality, you know, the businesses that you're running now?
Well, I wouldn't be, I'm where I am now because of what I did when I was younger, and I think I would still probably take that path. My personality and who I am still would need that strict regimen and direction from a very, very strong leader. I don't think I wouldn't change anything. How would it be different? I would probably have maybe had a bit more life experience out of kitchens when I was living and working in London, although I was dead broke. I didn't get paid very much there. So maybe that would be different. I might have had a bit more life experience out there, but there's nothing I would change. There's nothing I wish for differently in my career. So yeah, I don't know if that really answers that question, but I think maybe I wouldn't be as sore on my knees, you know, maybe the body wouldn't be as tired, but I think, you know, my personality and management style has changed with hospitality through the years. So I don't think I would have come out a different person or a different leader. I don't think so. No, I think the path I was on, I was always meant to be on, to be honest.
I mean, what kinds of things did you see in kitchens? I want to talk about the food side of things, like in terms of skills, the types of dishes that you could put up. I mean, understanding, I suppose, that people's tastes have changed as well. But are there dishes that, you know, you'd love to see at some of your venues, but just because of the way hospitality is these days, you just couldn't really consider them?
I'll talk about my time in Tom Aiken's kitchen, which is a formidable kitchen at the time in London. I saw basically what I would call like the elite special forces of chefs in that. I've never seen people cook with such intensity, speed and precision as these guys. And it's just, it was like it was unbelievable. And the plating style, like there was no less than 16 to 18 movements on any plate of Tom Aiken's. Like it was unbelievable. Like we had 14 types of bread go out to every table. It was just, it was extreme. It was extreme. It was at that time, you know, like we were, I think we were eighth in the world. Those top 50 lists started coming out. And it was just full power, full speed from 6 a.m. in the morning until you left at like 12:30, 1 a.m. It was unbelievable. The dishes I would love to see there's a lot of skill still. I'm not saying no one's modern has got that skill, but just seeing that plating style again it is dated. I agree, but just seeing that again, and it was just unbelievable. It was inspiring. It was scary, for lack of a better word, but it was just the special forces. I always like to call them that. These guys were unreal.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because as you say, perhaps we don't want those exact dishes now. Like, times have moved on, but I feel like we are missing out on the 2024 version of, you know, whatever that was going to be, simply because, yeah, people just people, you know, and rightly, like, aren't going to live like that. So it's interesting. I think, you know, I definitely celebrate changes, you know, to the extent that things have changed. I think those changes are necessary, but I think, you know, we can also acknowledge that we've lost something there.
Yeah, it's important we do acknowledge that. Like, you know, I remember being on the stoves there and doing garnishes for one dish, and there were six different fry pans on, you know, like, and you're trying to carry these copper pans to the pass. It was just different. It was just, and to sit in that dining room and to have an understanding of what the chefs were going through, a floor below you is just unbelievable.
Well, that's it as well, isn't it? Because most people sitting there would have had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, back then there wasn't. I don't even know the social media or Instagram, Facebook might have been around, but no one would have known what was going into those dishes. Whereas I guess that's a lot different now. Whereas people like to document and put all that stuff on social media, which sort of takes a little bit of the mystery away. But yeah, I guess things might have been a lot different if there was social media back then.
yeah, for better and worse, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking about your career, you know, how do you reflect now? You know, there you were with those six copper pans. Here you are now off-site looking at tenders. How do you reflect on where you're at in your career and where do you see it going from here?
The way I reflect on it is, like, I'm, you know, I love the path that I've taken. I do still get the itch to be in the kitchen all day, every day. I don't think I could sustain that for very long anymore. I do get that itch, that thrill. I think it's the adrenaline, the rush of it. And I think that's, I speak for a lot of chefs in that respect. I'd never imagined back then that this is what I would be doing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still am a chef. I still love food and I still love to cook. No matter what, it is who I am. It's my personality. And I think where it goes from here is I love to work on the projects. I love to develop the concepts, and empower the head chefs, you know, to be successful and give everyone everything that they need to be as successful as possible in their role. So, where it goes from here, I'm not sure. I think continued growth, obviously, I'd like to do something. I'll probably try and do some further education, like do an MBA in business and everything to continue growing that side of my career, which I've never really been able to do before. But yeah, just continued growth. Hopefully, it's with Darling Group. And yeah, it's where it goes. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, wow, excellent. I mean, it's amazing to think of you telling that 14, 15-year-old boy who couldn't sit still that you're going to do an MBA one day. That's really, you never know where the road's going to take you.
Yeah, that's a dream. That's a dream to do that. But yeah, I would never have thought that, obviously, because it's more education, which I really didn't want at that stage of my life. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great. And just to pass on more knowledge and to give more people in the industry knowledge would be, yeah, it's just really, really humbling.
Oh, beautiful, Ash. I'd love to talk a bit more about groups and, you know, perhaps what independent businesses could learn from the kinds of structures that you're able to develop. I mean, people are doing it really tough at the moment, and I think independent restaurants tend to be a little less insulated from some of the pressures. They don't have perhaps that back office consolidation that can, I don't know, not make things easy, but sort of make the daily pressures perhaps a little bit less. I mean, is there anything in terms of, I don't know, business structure structure, menu structure, the way staffing runs that you could, you know, any insights that you could share?
Oh, look, insights would be you know, a difficult one. I would never want to give anyone business advice. I don't think I'm that qualified for that. But I think all businesses in hospitality aren't doing it as well as what, you know, they probably should be or deserve to be. I think it's such a hard business to, especially with everything that's going on outside of it, with, you know, interest rate rises and cost of living and staff costs and everything. I think what we do well, I think there's benefits in being a small to moderate sized business. You still be nimble and you can make and create change pretty quickly in a business of that size, whereas the larger group, you can't be as nimble. You've got a lot of channels to get through, and you know, say you want to change. Excuse me, that's my dog. You want to, yeah. if you say in a larger group, for example, you want to make a menu change or pull a dish off that you've just learnt from a supplier where the cost is going up, it's more of a 5 to 8 day process to get that done from the back end to the POS and everything. Whereas I think in a smaller business, you could be a little more nimble and make those effective changes more rapidly. But in saying that, I mean, you know, with a larger group and obviously with more venues, you do have a little bit more, I guess you could say, market power in terms of negotiating prices and locking in fixed pricing based on volumes, which I think is beneficial to larger groups, but also the costs are more overall. I don't know, that's a really hard one because I had my own business in Brisbane and I love small businesses. As hard as it was, I didn't make a cent out of it. It absolutely burnt me out. And but the life experience and everything I got from it, and I've been able to, I put that hard time, difficult time and also beautiful time as a massive attributor to where I am today and how I can think laterally in a business sense to assist my group. So it's a really hard one whether you can transplant larger group systems and processes. We use a lot of online systems for reporting, for ordering and so we've always got live data of cost of goods and labor costs and everything. That's, you know, but they all cost money as well. So it's not a cheap exercise. I can't really give you the golden nugget of information on that one.
Yeah, no, I feel like what you've said has been really interesting and really helpful. And I think the fact is there is no golden nugget, but I also can really hear your passion for those independent businesses. I mean, how do you create that that feeling of the essence of a business when you've got, you know, a number of restaurants in a group? How do you create, you know, the vibe that you're able to create in your own business?
Well, that's a great question because it, you know, you don't want to feel like a cookie cutter kind of company or you know, you just roll out the same concept in every venue. Whereas we strive to make every venue really independent and work on its own and have that feeling of that it's, you know, normally you wouldn't know coming into a lot of our venues that they are part of a bigger group, and we really strive to make sure they do have that, well, the same as the family business, a humble beginnings, guest comes first, the service is really, we really strive to have great front of house service and not intrusive, very humble, welcoming. So we try and treat every part of the business as a small business on its own merits.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, I mean, you've mentioned Token, you've mentioned the Terrace. That's where I saw you last, and it was a very delightful lunch. I don't want to ask you to pick a favourite child, but if I was to go to one of your restaurants in the next few days, where would you send me and what would I eat?
For me would be at the moment would be Token, just because it's made such a positive turn, and I'm really proud of the team that's in there. What I'd eat, anything from the grill that we put in there. We've got this astonishingly amazing custom grill we put in there, so anything that comes off those coals I would order. It's just it's just a real powerhouse piece of equipment. Or we've built a standalone sushi bar in there as well. So we've got an amazing sushi sashimi chef in there, anything off that section. But, you know, the menu is a bit of a journey to get through as well. So, you know, there's something from every section I'd probably go for.
Mm, love it. Well, let's round it out. Ash, tell me, what does food mean to you?
What does food mean to me? It's my life, to be honest. I don't have a romantic food connection story from when I was younger. Like, I didn't stand around on a stool in a kitchen with my parents. I'm from a working class family. The meals were packet curried sausages on overcooked gluey rice. So I don't have that, but it's everything to me. It gives me a chance to put, whether I'm cooking in a restaurant or for family or for friends, it's, you know, you share your heart and it's all about experience and idea sharing, whether it's, you know, political views or anything around a table with food. It's just all encompassing for me, the spirit of it.
And what does hospitality mean to you?
Oh, hospitality. What it means to me. Well, let me think about this one. It's the most unbelievable industry. You know, it teaches you everything about life. I mean, what I've learned and still learn in hospitality is something that you can never learn in from a university book or course. It's the university of life, for lack of a better term. Everything that you get from it is unbelievable, and it's such a positive. Even though whether we like the changes it's got, whether they're better for worse, it's still the best. It's unbelievable. Imagine doing a job that you don't love, sitting at a desk and not meeting anyone or having experiences with people from, like, it's so multicultural. There's every type of person in the industry. Like, it's incredible.
Love it. So would you tell that 15-year-old back in the day to go for it, to send them into the kitchen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would, for sure. For sure. With probably what I would do differently, I guess, would probably set up a mentor program for a younger chef, something I learned later in life, which I wish I had, just a guiding light. A bit more someone that wasn't your chef in the kitchen, but more of just a life mentor.
I love that. Well, I'm sure you're playing that role for a lot of people today, Ash. I'm really grateful to you for sharing with us. It sounds busy. It sounds fulfilling. I'm really excited to see where the road takes you next. Thank you so much for being on Dirty Linen.
Oh, thank you so much, Danny. It's been great chatting to you.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.